The Lord teaches us about many good paths in His Word. And one of those paths or roads is that of understanding. In Proverbs chapter 9, we have a passage that calls us to walk on this road, the way of understanding. And so in Proverbs chapter 9, if we can turn there and read verses 6 through 9, he begins by telling us to forsake the foolish and live. If we do not forsake foolishness, we're not going to live spiritually. So the way of eternal life is going to require us to turn away from foolishness. So we're going to have to turn to seek God and to seek understanding of the will of God and His ways. So he says, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. So there are two different overall roads we can go upon. And I know we have studied that or called attention to that many different times as we see that in God's Word. We have that straight and narrow road that leads to eternal life. There's that broad road that leads to destruction. He tells us about that in Matthew 7. And so we're reading an example of that or version of that here in Proverbs chapter 9. We have to forsake the foolish and the way of foolishness to live. And so he says, go in the way of understanding. But when he says the way, which is a word for road, the road of understanding, there is a pathway for us to be able to understand the will of God so that we can keep it. And so then he goes on from in verses 7 through 9 to show us that road. He says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now, if we haven't read that before, it may catch us by surprise a bit to see when he says to go in the way or road of understanding, that's what he teaches us about. Well, this is the way of understanding, and what is at the center of it? For us not to scorn and reject reproof and correction from God, but to readily receive it, to be thankful for it. And if we reject correction, well, what happens if somebody tells us we're wrong about something? How do we respond to that? Well, if our response to being for somebody not being happy with us about something we've done, or to point that out, and our response is to get mad at them, we got a problem. But that is the way most people are, and that's the way of foolishness. And what happens if you give reproof to a scorner, someone that is proud and is not going to listen to it? What do they do with the one who reproves them? Well, they're going to attack them. And so that's why he says, he that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame, and he that rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blot. They're going to turn on you. And then the one who's reproving that scorner and wicked man is going to be suffering for doing that, because they're going to turn against them for having given them that reproof. And so he says, don't do it in verse 8, lest he hate you. But he says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Now, what kind of heart do we have that if somebody is taking God's word and using that to show us how we can improve and where we need to do something better, and then we love them for doing that? Well, that is very much a humble heart, to have that kind of response to someone who's trying to help us to do better. But he says that one who is wise is going to love the one who rebukes him. In verse 9, he says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. So when he says this is the road of understanding, it also is going to result in our growing in wisdom. When we receive correction from the Word of God, we're going to grow in understanding and we're going to grow in wisdom. He says, if you teach a righteous man, he's going to increase in learning. So knowledge and wisdom and understanding, all of that comes from God, which we see in Proverbs chapter 2. We'll go to that, Lord willing, in a little bit. But all of that comes from God. But he's only going to give that to those who, at least this is part of the conditions and one of the major conditions to receive that from God, that we will humbly receive his correction. God's word tells us when we're wrong and shows us what is right. When we read God's word, we study that, we're going to have lots of correction and reproof coming at us. We're going to have many opportunities to see, here's what God wants us to do, or here's how he wants us to be. And then we can recognize what we really are like. And there's a difference. And there's going to be lots of things that we need to work on to change so that we're going to be doing what God would desire us to do instead of what we've been doing. But that's going to require us to be able to be humble and receive that correction. If that makes us mad and we get upset about being told that we're wrong, we're not going to be growing in any understanding or wisdom. The Lord's not going to give that to us. So this is at the heart of the road of understanding, and this is going to be the focus of our study for the rest of this morning, and also we want to look at this some more next Lord's Day as well. So this is going to be something that will take up our time and study for the next two lessons on Sunday mornings, the Lord willing. Proverbs chapter 15, if we can turn there, Proverbs 15:32. We're going to see another passage here, and this is really just our introduction to the study as we continue with what we saw in Proverbs 9. But Proverbs 15:32 also shows us the same condition for receiving understanding from God. He says, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So that's that same road here in Proverbs 15:32 that we just saw in Proverbs 9:6-9. That we hear reproof and not refuse it. If we refuse the instruction, he says we're despising our own soul. Who's going to ultimately pay for it? If we are proud and we will not listen to rebukes and in reproofs, who's going to ultimately pay the price for that and suffer for it, and how? Well, that if we don't grow in wisdom and understanding, we're not going to know what we should do to please the Lord, because every time we're told that we need to do something better, we're going to refuse to listen to that. And if we have that kind of pride, we're not going to grow spiritually at all, and we're not going to be able to fulfill the will of God. And then where are we going to be for eternity? Well, we're going to lose our souls ultimately if that's how we are. And so we're despising our own soul, he says, if we refuse instruction. But he that hears reproof getteth understanding. So do we desire to grow in understanding? We pray for that. Well, then what are we going to have to do? Does it just come with no conditions attached? Not according to what God says. And this is one of the major conditions, that we hear reproof. So when we ask the Lord for more understanding, are we of a mind, as we're asking that we're readying ourselves to hear more reproof? Because that's what's going to happen. If we're asking for understanding, we can expect to be hearing more reproof. If we really desire that, that's how it comes. And if we're not going to hear it when it comes, then what are we really sincerely asking for that? Well, then we're saying the words, but we don't really mean or understand how it's going to come and be ready to do it. Proverbs 19:25. He says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. So this goes right along again with that road of understanding that we saw in Proverbs 9. Reprove one that has understanding, and what's going to be the result? More understanding. Well, how did that person get understanding to begin with? By receiving reproof. And so that one who's already received reproof and grown in understanding, he gets reproved some more, and what's he going to get more of? More understanding. So that is the pathway, step by step, that we keep growing in it. So do we just receive reproof or rebukes one time and then that's it? We get all understanding and that's the end of that? No, that's the step, bit by bit by bit, that we have to keep going through day by day. So we can't just be humble for a few minutes one time in our lives and then that's going to get us through. This has to be our hearts, and we have to be willing to receive the Lord's reproof over and over and over again on a daily basis to keep growing in understanding so we can please the Lord. Now, what's going to be at the heart of our growing in understanding by receiving His reproof is the fear of the Lord. So really, the rest of our time and study this morning, it's going to be more studying about the fear of the Lord, which I know that's a subject that we give a lot of attention to, and for good reason. But here it comes up again in this context of being able to grow in understanding. So we want to look at the fear of the Lord, particularly as it pertains to or applies to our being able to grow in understanding of the will of God. So in Job chapter 28, verses 20 through 28, Job 28, 20 through 28, here's the question that is asked in verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Excellent questions. Where does it come from? Where does it not come from? He's going to deal with that immediately. He says, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. So here's the question. Where is it? Where do we find wisdom and understanding? Well, it's not from among the living in this world. We're not going to get it from men or any place in this earth. Who is the one that knows it and is going to be able to give it? There's only one being, and that's God. He's the one that understands the way thereof and knows the place thereof. Again, there is a way of understanding that God knows, that he reveals, not to everyone. Concerning the eyes of all living, what does God do with his wisdom and understanding? Why do we need to ask where it is in the first place? He says we need to ask that, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living. How many people in this world have wisdom and understanding? Of the spiritual variety. There's not a lot of the other kind around either, it seems, but particularly as it pertains to wisdom and understanding of the spiritual nature of the will of God. I mean, that's not found in the world, and the world hates it. The world scorns it, so they don't have it. Who's in control of it? God. Does he give it to those who scorn it, which is this world? No. And so it's hid from the eyes of all living. Well, so here's something very valuable that's hidden from the eyes of all living. So then where do we find it? If it's hidden from all the others, how are we going to be one of these? How can we be a rare one that the Lord doesn't hide it from? Well, we need to seek it from him because he's the source of it. He understands the way thereof and he knows the place thereof. It says, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds. And he weigheth the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, he searched it out, and unto man he said. So here he's now showing us how to get it from him. Is it going to be consistent with what we just saw in Proverbs 9? It will, but we're going to have to be able to see the connection. But he says in Job 28:28, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Well, somebody might raise the question, well, I thought that receiving reproof was the way of understanding, and here he's saying that the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Those are connected. How are we going to hear reproof, receive it, and not refuse it and scorn it without having the fear of the Lord? And how can we have the fear of the Lord if we don't depart from evil? That all goes together, so we need to see, be able to see that connection there. The fear of the Lord, he says, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. That's how we're going to get it from God. We've got to have this fear of the Lord. And that's why we see in numerous other passages, the Lord will tell us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. We need to be able to recognize that this is a term the Lord uses, the fear of the Lord, several times in his word, and we need to understand it as the Lord teaches it. Now, when we think of fear, we think of being scared and trembling, and are we afraid of God? Well, we need to be afraid of what's going to happen to us, what will ultimately happen to our souls if we don't obey the Lord. But when he's telling us about this fear of the Lord, it has a particular definition to it. It involves some particular teachings. And it is connected to wisdom and understanding. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." How does that match up with Job 28, 28? Where he said that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. He says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He said in Job 28, 28, to depart from evil is understanding. He says a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Well, if we're doing his commandments, what are we departing from? We're departing from evil. So departing from evil and doing God's commandments, obviously that goes together. We're going to have a good understanding to do that. That is understanding in Job 28, 28. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Proverbs 1, 7 through 9. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So here, there we see the connection, bringing together what we've seen in Job 28, Psalms 111, now with also what we saw in Proverbs 9. We've got to have the fear of the Lord. But in order to have the fear of the Lord, we have to receive reproof. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, he says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if we despise and refuse that, are we going to be able to have the fear of the Lord and therefore to be able to grow in understanding and wisdom and knowledge? We won't. So we have to receive correction. He says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Hear it, don't forsake it. So there's three steps right here at the beginning of Proverbs that he mentions to be able to grow in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. He says, don't despise it, hear it, and don't forsake it. So there's some things to do, things not to do that go together there. But that is all part of this road of understanding, the way of understanding. Psalm 34, here we have the only place, I'm not going to say this is the only place in God's Word where he teaches us about the fear of the Lord. We've already seen a few passages on it. This is the only place, it's quoted in the New Testament also. So here in Psalm 34, and as it's quoted in 1 Peter 3, we have the only place where the Lord says, come and I'm going to teach you this, where we have it presented in that way. So here we're going to have a body of instruction that he says is the fear of the Lord, what he's teaching us. So if we really want to understand what the fear of the Lord is, this is an excellent place to begin. Psalm 34, 11 to 18. And I know we've heard these words many times. We even sing a song that's includes these very words, but he says, "Come, you children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." So he's calling his children to come and listen to him. He says, "I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Well, this should be something that we respond to very readily, that we would want to know what that is and understand it better. He says, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" Once more, as we have pointed out before, he doesn't say what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days and then have the question mark there without that other part after it. Because if that was the question, if he's asking what man is he that desires life and loves many days, who wants to live a long life? Well, if that's what the question is, then what would the answer be? Everybody. I mean, how many people don't want to have a long life on this earth? How about the people of the world? That's very much what they're desiring to have. For what reason, though? And this is why there's more to it than just asking, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days? He's asking, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Now, how many people want to have more time on this earth for that reason? How many people want to have a length of days on this earth so that they can see more of God's good? He's the source of it. There is none other. How many people want to be on this earth for longer for that reason versus wanting to live here longer so they can have more fun? The question is very different in the way that the Lord asks it there, isn't it? So he's asking and showing us that fear of the Lord, our very desire to be alive, our purpose of existence is going to be centered in seeing more of God's good, not just to see it, but as we're going to see, to then do it. What other reason do we have to be here? Well, in agreement with God's purpose for putting us here, that we're going to learn about Him and about what He teaches us as good so that we can glorify God as God and please our Creator that we belong to. That's the reason He's put us here. And if we're in agreement with following that, well, here's the fear of the Lord. It begins with that point. And He says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So here's that humility again, that we're going to listen to the Lord and do what He says. But this fear of the Lord, we have a desire, our entire desire for living is to see more of God's good. And as we see that we're going to depart from evil and do the good to the point of keeping our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking guile. And God's going to have His eyes upon us and be near to us if we're like that. So to love good, I mean, this is at the center of the fear of the Lord, to love what is good and right so that we see it and then do it and depart from evil. That's exactly what we were seeing in Job 28 a while ago. This is not just, though we're finding it here in the Psalms, this is not an Old Testament topic, as in something that pertains or is tied to the law of Moses per se. Well, the Lord wanted the people, if they had the fear of the Lord, the ones that were under the law of Moses would have been keeping it as God instructed. But when has the Lord had man's purpose to be seeking God, to see His good and to do His good? I mean, that's what He's had for man to do from the very beginning. It's not tied to the period of time before the New Testament. That's why He quotes it in the New Testament. Mentioned 1 Peter 3, he quotes Psalm 34, passage that we just read about the fear of the Lord. It's quoted in 1 Peter 3, 10 through 12. So here we have the one place in His Word that He says, come, you children, hearken to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And He has it quoted in both the Old and New Testaments. That's not by accident. Proverbs 8, verse 13, very consistent with what we just read in Psalm 34. Proverbs 8, 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Well, He just said that the fear of the Lord is for us to love what's good, to see it and do it, and to depart from evil. So if we love righteousness, what are we going to do concerning evil? We're going to hate it. So this love of righteousness and hatred of evil. Proverbs 16, 6 Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Well, how are we going to depart from evil if we don't hate what's evil? so that seeing good, to do the good, and hating evil, to depart from the evil. All of that is the fear of the Lord, and it is by that that we can depart from evil. Well, as we saw in Job 28, verse 28 a while ago, he says, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And here he says that by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Well, that fear of the Lord gets us wisdom, and that departure from evil is what gets us understanding, which is going to require us to love that instruction and reproof that we get from God's word, where he's teaching us what is good, to see that good, to do it, and to turn away from that evil that we were doing. We have to love and receive correction for that to come. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33, God's wisdom is crying out to mankind. And since the fear of the Lord is wisdom, when wisdom speaks, what topic can we expect to see brought up? The fear of the Lord. And that's exactly what we see here in Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. And we see that as it pertains to loving and receiving correction from God and not despising it and rejecting it. Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. Wisdom crieth without, and she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. So right here we can see that the God's wisdom is crying out in all the places where man can be found. God is desiring all mankind to hear what he needs to hear from his Maker concerning how to receive and obtain wisdom from him. And so the first thing that wisdom asks is, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. So here's wisdom crying out and immediately going to this subject of receiving correction and reproof and turning at it and not scorning it and hating it. So this receiving wisdom from God, again, is going to require receiving and turning at reproof. This is the way of understanding. God's wisdom says, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. Then shall they seek me early, but they shall not find me. Well, then it's too late. Right now we have the opportunity to receive that correction and instruction and not reject it, but turn at that reproof, and then we will receive that wisdom and understanding. But here's the problem he points out again. He says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord comes up again. Well, that's the beginning of wisdom. And here wisdom is speaking. So wisdom is teaching in all these words, teaching us to choose the fear of the Lord, to love what is good, to hate what is evil, which will require us to turn at the reproof from God in his wisdom and receive that. So part of choosing the fear of the Lord, which will lead to our receiving wisdom and understanding from God, is to receive and turn at reproof. I mean, that is a condition. That's why it's part of the way of understanding. And he says, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Well, if we have the fear of the Lord, we'll be quiet from the fear of evil. But if we don't have the fear of the Lord, we have every reason to have fear of evil, and that's the shaking and the shaking and quaking kind of fear there. But we need to have that fear of the Lord, where we will receive his correction and turn at his reproof, and then we're going to be able to grow in understanding. Well, if we don't have, if we don't have understanding, how are we going to do what God says if we don't understand it? Are we going to be able to do what we don't understand? We remember in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, 18 and 19, the wayside ground, he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the words of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." This is that, is he which received seed by the wayside. The understanding isn't there. It's taken away before there's any understanding. Well, this is the world, the wayside ground. These are the ones that will not receive correction and instruction, and they do not get understanding. And because they do not get understanding, they're not doing what God says. They're not obeying him. Now, everything else he teaches in the parable of the sower, it's all about the ones who have received that instruction and do have understanding. Then there are two problem areas that he warns us about once that happens. But we first have to listen to God and turn at reproof, love righteousness, and hate the evil, and turn at the reproof, and then therefore grow in understanding so we can do it. So we have to have understanding to be able to do the will of God. And that comes up over and over again in God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12, and 13 says, "Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good." Is there a connection between fearing the Lord and keeping his commandments? We have to have understanding to keep them. And we have to turn at reproof to be able to have that understanding. So all this is tied together. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. I know we know these words. It's the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And that is the very reason why in Proverbs 2, 1 through 6, he says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words," not reject them, but receive them, "and hide my commandments with thee," there's that love for righteousness, "so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." He's the source. Again, it requires listening to him and receiving his instruction. And if we do, then we're going to we will find that and understand the fear of the Lord. So he brings that up again. That's what we're going to grow an understanding of and be able to please him more as we do that. Two more Proverbs very quickly. Proverbs 9, 10 through 12 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it." That is right after verses 6 through 9, where he teaches us the way of understanding, where we started our study this morning. But that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom again. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And once more, he ties that to receiving his instruction and turning it as reproof and not scorning it. And finally, Proverbs 3, verses 7 and 8, he says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." And this morning is an opportunity for anybody that's here that has not yet turned to the Lord at his reproof. The Lord is showing us all what we need to do to please him and do what's right before him. And that does require us to turn away from our own ways. If you're ready this morning to repent, to have that change of mind where you're going to live for the Lord, to desire life, to see many days, and have many days to see his good and then do it and hate and depart from the evil. If you've got that mind now to repent, and we're encouraging you to come forward and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're a member of the Lord's body, and if you've not been hearing him as you need to, and you need to go back to that, return to the Lord, then you may also come at this time. So anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you please come now while we stand together and sing.